Good morning.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always want to remind you that every Sunday morning at 10:30, we have a Zoom fellowship service where you get to watch this message and meditation and be in community with other Unity folks watching this and hear music. And, it's just an enjoyable time. So always remember that. And you can find the link to that either in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. If you're not receiving either one of those, please go to our website, which is unitycenteroflight.org. And also let you know that next week is the 31st. You might have heard me say before that the first Sunday of every month, we have an in-person service at our location on Ken Hill Drive. And that starts at 10:30. And so next Sunday, because it's New Year's Eve, we're going to have that as our in-person service at 10:30 that morning. So please join us for that. It's going to be a very special service. As we move into the new year, 2024 already. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Now I would ask that you join me in our opening affirmation. We're going to say this together. Christ is born anew in me. Christ is born anew in you. Christ is born anew in us. And now we are getting ready to light the Joy Advent candle. The fourth candle represents joy and is symbolized by a star. When we recognize God's promise that the birth of the Christ has been fulfilled, that which is sought has already been given to us, we are filled with joy. The star was the signal to the wise men that the event which had been foretold, which they were waiting for, was realized. The brilliant light of the Bethlehem star represents inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope, when we have the deep inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. That leads to an inner and outer expression of joy. So we welcome you to this very special Christmas service. We come together to share in a joyful experience of the symbolism of the Christmas message. Please allow this spiritual experience to speak deeply to you personally and to see the larger framework of our journey to Bethlehem and what lies beyond. And now we will have an opening prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come to this service to prepare ourselves to hear the message of the angels. As we go into our hearts and minds to Bethlehem to see the loving kindness of our God, we receive the gift of the babe lying in the manger. Let us open our hearts and minds as we revisit the deeper meanings in the journey to Bethlehem and allow them to transform our experience of the holy days and beyond. As we become open and receptive to the living, loving Spirit of Truth, our way is made clear. Let us give thanks in advance for the presence of the Christ light within and for the heavenly Creator this day and always. Amen. Where we will now have the Christmas message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, the last day of Advent, Christmas Eve, boy, there's a lot going on this month and in the beginning of next month. So today's talk is Joy is a Present Moment Experience. We're actually on joy because we went through faith, peace, love, and now today we're doing joy. And the last line of the opening Advent reading that Pamela just read says that joy is a deep inner knowing of the divine within us that leads us to an inner and outer expression of joy. And that is true. When we come to know, it is true from our own personal experience, okay? So the Advent reading also refers to the Star of Bethlehem as the brilliant star within each of us that shows us the way to great joy. And again, that will be true for each of us when we come to know it is true for ourselves through our own life experiences. So we're always talking about the fact that it's more than just learning. It's about going out and practicing these ideas in our everyday life, in our experiences, so that they really become true for us, not just intellectually, but from a practical perspective. So but right now, for most folks, you need to think about great joy is relative, because what is great joy for me may not be great joy for you. And as we're exploring this mental, emotional concept called joy, it may be helpful to explore the difference between joy and happiness, especially since we often use those two terms interchangeably. It's like we use hope and faith interchangeably. And you've heard me talk several times about, you know, hope is sort of the prelude to faith. Hope is important, but we're moving towards the idea of faith. So we're going to talk in a similar fashion about happiness in relationship to joy. Now, in an article on the Harvard Health Publishing website, if you're interested in reading more about this, on the Harvard Health Publishing website, there's an article called titled, How Can You Find Joy or at Least Peace During These Difficult Times? And it explains, it says, happiness technically refers to the pleasurable feelings, emotions that result from a situation, experience, or objects wherever, whatever's going on in our lives. So usually we can attach happiness to something. You know, I'm happy because kind of thing. But joy is a state of mind that can be found even in times of grief or uncertainty. That's going to be an important thing that we're going to explore. Thus, we can work on cultivating joy independent of our circumstances. You know, that's a powerful thought. So even in the midst of unhappy events and circumstances, things we're going through that we wish we're not. If you are involved in something that gives you great joy, it puts you in a transcendent state of consciousness. Let's say it's walking. You know, you really enjoy walking. And you've got some troubling things on your mind. But you get into your walk, and I don't know how many people have done this, but you get into something you really enjoy doing, and time, you lose track of time. You know, you're just wrapped up in the joy of doing that thing you love doing. So that's why we say joy puts you in a transcendent state of consciousness, basically meaning a consciousness of joy can transcend unhappy situations and circumstances. So it's like the story I told a long time ago. And I can't remember where I got this story. I don't know if it's from Viktor Frankl or which book I got this from. But it's about a man in a Nazi concentration camp, you know, horrible situation. And he found a book on how to, you know, on the camp, he found a book laying around on how to learn how to play the piano. So he then found a plank of wood, and he took some charcoal, you know, when the fire burns down that what's left, it's kind of like charcoal. He took some charcoal, and he drew himself a keyboard. And then he sat down day after day learning how to play the piano on his makeshift keyboard, even though there was no sound. Okay? Now, chaos was happening all around him. But he was so joyfully involved in his soundless keyboard lessons that, you know, nobody bothered him. Nobody said anything to him. Okay? It was as if he had become invisible and invincible, shielded by his great joy at playing or learning how to play the piano, which caused his mind to block out everything that was going on around him. You know, kind of just picture that, and maybe even related to something, you know, in your life that you become absorbed in like that. So the story goes on to share that when the war ended and, you know, the Allies came and he was released from the concentration camp, when he sat down at a real piano for the first time, he immediately played with the skill of an accomplished concert pianist. Okay? So metaphysically and spiritually, joy has the power to lift your consciousness out of unhappy circumstances, even while you are still in the midst of them. And whereas happiness often relies on outer conditions, joy is an inside job, okay? So some significant quotes I found on this. It says, joy endures hardships and trials and tribulations by connecting with meaning and purpose in an enjoyable endeavor. Another one is, happiness is smiling when the sun is out. Joy can dance even in a downpour, okay? Another one, happiness is based on what is happening around us. Joy is based on what is happening within us. And I like this one. Happiness equals a feeling based on circumstances. Joy is an attitude that defies circumstances. So, you know, think about what gives you great joy. You know, what in your life gives you great joy? It could be, you know, if you had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It could be, you love to play a certain instrument. You know, there's many different things that each of us can find joy in, and we have been finding joy in. So if you think about that, the thing that gives you joy, and you begin to understand the difference between happiness and joy, you really want to cultivate that thing that gives you great joy, whatever that is for you. See, joy is like a protective shield that keeps you lifted up no matter what you are experiencing. And for me, one example of joy is spending time with my photography. You know, I have a friend named Gene that Pam can always tell when we're talking because we sound like two little kids talking about photography and the new equipment and so forth. You know, and, when I'm working on a photo, I'm on a computer doing artistic manipulations to bring it to a place or a stage where I feel that it's ready to be printed on canvas, framed and displayed. Or for me, it's being in an environment where I'm taking photos, looking for that next image I feel will be good enough for me to work on. It is the deep involvement in something that triggers a strong inner desire to continue to be involved in that joy-filled endeavor. Okay, if you can think about it, sometimes you find you're doing things that make you happy, but then after a while, that particular thing had gone away. It could be as simple as you go on a trip, and you're really happy when you're on a trip. When you come back home to all of the hustle bustle of life, the happiness of the trip has gone away. Now you're back into another situation. Joy transcends that. And yes, when you think about joy and happiness, you may not perceive that there's a difference or any clear distinction between the two. But if you really spend time thinking about it, these two concepts are very unique. Just like hope and faith are very unique. Okay? For example, joy is a constant while happiness is often temporary depending on some outside circumstance, event, or object. Okay? And joy can be deeply spiritual while happiness can lack depth because, again, happiness may be attached to a temporary event or circumstance. And similar to this statement, joy is meaningful and it maintains its meaning for you over the passage of time. Okay? Again, when that, you know, what is happening to make you happy, it can fade away, you know, and when whatever was is making you happy fades away, a lot of times so does the happiness that's attached to it. Now, we're not negating happiness, just like we did not negate hope. But we're trying to get to the spiritual essence of things, okay? And the spiritual essence of things between hope and faith is faith itself, and between happiness and joy is joy itself. So joy is difficult to define in words, really, but you can usually describe what is making you happy, because we'll say, I am happy because. And as we've already shared, you can have joy even in difficult times, but happiness usually cannot survive when difficulties arise. So, again, not negating the incredible energy that happiness gives us, but we're looking for the more spiritually in-depth, as I'm going to say a little bit later, meta-spiritual life that we want to move into. Again, so the feeling of joy in the midst of difficulties is at the center of the lyrics, actually. You all know this. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged, and deep do I feel the pain. But in my prayers, the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Now, the balm in these lyrics can be thought of as the healing power of joy we experience when engaged in something that makes us forget the circumstances in our lives that may be making us unhappy, okay? And if we go to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it says Gilead symbolizes the high place in our consciousness where spirit discerns and witnesses what is true in all of our thoughts so that an adjustment can be made through our mind and body, okay? So while we're engaged in whatever is giving us joy, now let me say this again, while we're engaged in whatever is giving us joy, remember we have transcended everything else going on in our lives, we're joyfully involved and engaged in whatever this might be, gardening, photography, jogging, playing an instrument, playing with your grandkids, whatever it might be, just giving you great joy, okay? When you're involved in that and you're not thinking and worrying about anything, this joy gives the Holy Spirit time to make adjustments in our mind, body, heart, and spirit so that when it becomes necessary to turn our attention back to whatever may be causing us some angst in life, we will now have, listen to this, Holy Spirit solutions combined with Holy Spirit aptitude to be able to implement and live from those divine solutions. So when you're in something that totally engages you and you're in a sense of joy about it, like I said, the Holy Spirit then goes to work, cleansing out a lot of the emotional energy we might have had about other things going on in our lives. It's almost like the thing about when you go to sleep at night and you're not eating, you know, some of the junk we eat during the day, the body goes, oh, good. So now I'm going to clean out all of this stuff that person's been putting into their bodies all day long, all right? So there is a notion called, this is what I was alluding to earlier, called the meta-spiritual life and its relationship to what we experience in the physical or material life. So the metaphysical spiritual life and its relationship to what we experience in the physical or material life. So meta-spirituality is a philosophical look at the nuts and bolts of our reality and our existence. So metaphysical, you're not just looking at life from a physical standpoint, you're looking at it from a meta-spiritual standpoint. You're looking at the nuts and bolts of the reality of your life and your existence. So when we look to the physical life for our happiness, we have a set of parameters that describe what that means to us. Again, the statement, I'll be happy when, you know, might be saying, I'd be happy when I retire, whatever it might be, okay? But we have these parameters to describe what that happiness means to us. These are the nuts and bolts of our reality and our existence. Those things we keep saying that I'll be happy when. And as long as the nuts and bolts of our reality and existence are met, we are happy. But when the nuts and bolts of our happiness changes, so does our sense of happiness that we're based on those nuts and bolts, okay, based on those parameters. However, the metaphysical life transcends the mental, emotional parameters we set for the experience of happiness in our life. Do I need to say that again? Everybody got it? Okay. This is because the meta-spiritual life is based on joy, not happiness, which is several steps above happiness. Now, to quote, her name is Adela Rogers St. John. She says, happiness is a sort of atmosphere that you can live in sometimes when you're lucky. She says, joy is a light that fills you with faith, peace, and love, regardless of the nature of the atmosphere you live in. Okay, let's look at that again. Happiness is a sort of atmosphere you live in sometimes when you're lucky. Joy is a light that fills you with faith, peace, and love, regardless of the nature of the atmosphere you live in. Okay, and then another person, J.D. Salinger. And J.D. Salinger is the one who wrote, in 1951, he wrote the novel, The Catcher in the Rye. Okay, and this is what he says. The most singular difference between happiness and joy is that happiness is a solid and joy is a fluid. Right? A liquid, thank you, a liquid. Because I was thinking about the word that it flows. Joy just flows with life. Happiness is kind of stuck in something, all right? So just think about that, which this means that joy flows with you through the events and circumstances in your life, through the ups and downs in your life. It is what you can always turn to remind yourself that even if in this moment you are not happy, you're connected to that which keeps you joyful. So, for example, you had a very rough day dealing with whatever that is for you. But then you can go to, let's say, your garden and do some gardening. That's what gives you great joy. Your instrument and play that instrument. Whatever that is for you that you have over time found gives you great joy no matter what else is happening in your life. And from a meta-spiritual perspective, for many of us, that connection is found in our inner spiritual work of prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation. Okay? So according to the revealing word, the star of Bethlehem, spoken of in the opening reading that that Pamela did, symbolizes our inner feeling of belief and certainty that we have within us, the faith, peace, love, and joy of the Christ. The Christ being the divine message that is encoded in our DNA. Now, I'm putting it that way so we know that no matter what else is going on in our lives, that Christ is the divine message that is encoded in our DNA. That when activated through our life experiences, okay, we activate that Christ in us through our life experiences, it exposes us to the divine truth about ourselves. That being, there's a physical nature and a metaphysical nature that makes up the totality of our life experiences. There is a physical nature, the thing we are experiencing, and then there's the metaphysical dynamics behind that thing we're experiencing that makes up the totality of our life experiences. So the key here is that the wisdom we accumulate from the experiences in our lives is what reveals the true path to our awakening and enlightenment. And many of us who've been around for a long time can look back over life experiences and say, I didn't understand that at the moment, but now I understand why I went through that or why this happened or whatever. Okay, so it's the wisdom we gain from the accumulation of our life experiences that reveals the true path of our awakening and our enlightenment. So it's in living life open to all possibilities that leads to a greater awareness of the divine potential that lies within us, just waiting to be executed and used in our everyday lives. And this is what is meant by living the meta-spiritual life, the life of inner joy. And specifically, it consists of the following patterns for living. Okay? So these are the patterns that lead to that. It's living by faith that is the key to a greater awareness of our divine potential. It is a living in peace that is the key to a greater awareness of our divine potential. It is living in love that is the key to a greater awareness of our divine potential. And it is living with great joy that is the key that unlocks and reveals to us the reality of our divinity. Okay? Now, I know that sounded repetitive, but sometimes really to get the spiritual principle in our head, it needs to be repetitive. We need to hear it over and over again. Write it, say it, you know, live it, okay? So all of these ideologies strung together lead to a life that appears to be and actually is God-directed, okay? It is the meta-spiritual life. And yes, life does often become a little or a lot crazy, okay? But it is the crazy things that happen in our lives that break the routines in our lives, routines that have us living on autopilot, okay? So this interference of something in our life causes us to dig deeper within ourselves for the wisdom we need to become spiritually and joyfully balanced, okay? Otherwise, in Goldsmith. Okay, I always get those mixed up. He said, you know, have you heard me say this before? If we just go along as a character on the TV show said willy-nilly, you know, we're doing our thing day after day after day, something comes along and breaks. It interferes with that. And when it interferes with it, it gives us the opportunity to dig deeper within ourselves for the wisdom that we need to get ourselves back to being spiritually and joyfully balanced. See, we all have experienced those times in our lives when we were on the mountaintop and times when we were down in the valley, okay? But as one character in a movie said, happiness seems to only live in little moments. It seems it cannot be sustained over long periods of time, just in little wisps of time, and then we become unhappy again. But another character in another movie expanded on this by expressing, yes, but the most profound words you can ever hear are, be present right now in this moment, because joy is a present moment experience. And the more we are able to live in faith, peace, and love, the longer those moments of joy become. Okay. So when your inner feelings about your life come, comes to know that God, with certainty, that God is over all, in all, and living and working through all, when you really get that, then everything you think and do will be permeated with the spirit of faith, peace, love, and joy. And this sense of oneness in this present moment is the only thing that faith knows. It's the only thing that peace knows. It's the only thing that love knows. And this knowing leads to a lasting, enduring joy regardless of life's ever-changing nature. So to be without the awareness of spirit, the divine aspect you're a being, is to be in a precarious situation with joy. Let me say that again. To be without the awareness of spirit, the divine aspect of your being, is to be in a precarious relationship with joy. And conversely, to be in a precarious relationship with joy is to be without the awareness of spirit. So our quest in this Advent season is to willingly begin the disciplined process of practicing living from faith, peace, love, and joy. And this is not to say that, you know, we're not already doing the work. But as I know from the things that are happening in my life, we need to keep reminding ourselves of our spiritual work. And most importantly, we need to keep practicing our spiritual work in all aspects of our life. Practice living by truth long enough, and eventually truth becomes the first thought when your faith, peace, love, or joy are being threatened. So again, I say, practice, because living from truth is an ever-evolving process. So just keep doing the work until you reach the point where life throws you a curve, you can say with absolute confidence, no problem, I got this, okay? So I'm going to end with this scripture from Isaiah 55:12. You know, to help us think about our spiritual journey. Now, you're on your spiritual journey, and this is what it's saying in Isaiah. When you're on that journey, you shall go out in joy, and you'll be led out in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, singing your praise. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands, celebrating you. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So find a comfortable space right where you are and take a couple of deep breaths in and out. And quietly now let us meditate upon the birth of the Christ child who was called Jesus and the birth of the Christ consciousness in our minds and hearts. Every thought, every plan, every attitude is attuned to the Christmas spirit, to the Christ light. The spirit of Christmas is alive and flowing through me and each one of us gathered here today. The spirit of Christmas uplifts me and brings me into focus with all that is bright, beautiful, and good. The Christ light brings great life and joy, and I experience a potential within far greater than anything I have ever known. The light of Christ shines in me, and I let my light shine forth. During this Christmas season, I maintain a consciousness of spiritual contact, knowing there is one presence and one power active in my life and in the universe, God, the good, omnipotent. The Christ child is born in my heart, a child of joy, expectancy, creativity, love, beauty, truth, and light. I am one with the inner being of the Christ within me and within all whom I meet this Christmas season. I'm expressing the love of God for all people. I dwell at the center of my being and I touch the spirit of the Christ. I feel oneness with my Christ spirit and all is calm, peaceful, and bright this day. I feel the glad tidings of great joy which shall be for all. I feel the inner purity, wholeness, and peace on earth which comes from the birth of the Christ within my heart. Christ is born in the manger of my consciousness, and my soul overflows with joy. I give thanks for God's eternal loving presence, the birth of the Christ within my heart. And now we will take some moments in the silence. Let us now gently become aware of the present moment and listen while we are bringing our attention back to this time and space. Over the last weeks of Advent, we have studied, prayed, and meditated on the deeper meanings and symbolism of the Christmas story. Even the framework of the journey itself is symbolic of a process of transformation. The total journey illustrates the inner rebirth process through which our higher self emerges as the center of consciousness, becomes an integrating force, and transforms the individual. We ask you to consider this. Every character in the Nativity story represents a part of you, of me, of us. Their traits lie deep within our consciousness. Exploring the Christmas story in this way can bring a deeper spiritual meaning to our reflections during Advent and beyond. What we call Bible metaphysics is perhaps the most distinctive teaching in the Unity movement. We take every character of the Bible and look at what they reveal about us as human beings and individuals. Understanding the Bible this way started with Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore and the characters in the Christmas story were later expanded upon by Unity Minister Hypatia Hasbrouck in her book, The Trip to Bethlehem. We say every year that the birth of the Christ child symbolizes the divine born in each of us. Celebrating our divinity brings a deep awareness of our true spiritual nature, which can be renewed every Christmas. But what of the others in the Nativity story? Let's explore these characters and see how they are a part of us. Mary the Virgin represents the pure soul, ready to allow the expression of the Christ. Her conversation with the angel is not a dream, but a conscious connection with God. She symbolizes love, youth, and possibilities. All of these elements are a part of our own consciousness, our soul, our ability to connect with God, and our expressions of love. Joseph represents the father, a nurturer, provider, and protector. Watching Mary's experience, he brings human awareness to spiritual oneness. A part of each nurtures and protects too. A part of us witnesses and honors the deep spiritual connection in others. Jesus, as an unborn child, is the image of God in every soul. The suspicion that there is something both human and divine about us. For each of us, Jesus' birth represents the dawning, realizing of our own divinity or spiritual nature. The shepherds. The shepherds are abiding in a field of darkness, unaware, but faithful enough to lead their valuable sheep to seek the child. Something in our consciousness prompts us to seek spiritual awareness, to heed the angel's call and journey out of the darkness. The wise men, representing spiritual wisdom, are the only ones who can see the star over Bethlehem. Only our inner wisdom can perceive the divine within ourselves. Herod symbolizes the human ego, threatened by the awakening of a new consciousness. The king's determination to slay all the baby boys represents an inner battle as the ego fights to maintain control. Safety and life as we knew it before our spiritual awakening. If you feel a pull to abandon your new spiritual path and return to whatever is familiar, that represents the Herod in you. Can we see how this works and recognize parts of ourselves in these characters? As we apply Bible metaphysics to any person, place, or thing in the Bible, we can interpret it as a part of our consciousness. This can be taken even deeper to the meaning of the manger, the inn, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and much more. Working with the Nativity story in this way, we can bring new and deeper meaning to our Christmas journey.
The line notes? Oh.
No.
Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So much going on down there. All right. So let's become aware of, wow, the end of the year and all the blessings we've gotten this year. But let's, you know, just think about all of the wonderful things that have happened for us this year, all of the blessings. I know many of us have had some hard challenges this year as well. Remember, we're looking for those things that give us lasting joy. And that's what we're going to do, use, keep in mind as we say our prosperity prayer. So let's say our prosperity prayer together. Let me just bring it up. Okay. All right. So divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And now let's go to our offering blessing. And this is where we hold our offerings in our hand, in our mind, in our spirit. As we, you know, look into our hearts to think about what we give to support our spiritual home. As you've seen, letters have gone out saying that we're really open to your giving to help us to come into financial balance. And so we're really thankful for all the blessings that you offering blessings you send. So let's say this together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And now you have light notes.
Light notes. So on Sunday, December the 31st, which is next Sunday, we'll have our in-person and Zoom service at 10:30 a.m. This is our burning bowl service. You will have the opportunity to cleanse away all negative thinking and regrets of the past in the burning bowl. Come early so you may write your letters to God for a new you in 2024. We will also be giving away 2024 Unity calendars. You may pick one up from the greeter table along with your white stone for the January 14th white stone Zoom service. Please remember that there is no in-person service in January. And we are still seeking willing folks who can serve once a month during our in-person service. This would be setting up the coffee and refreshments and cleaning up afterwards. Two people would be ideal. If you can perform this sacred service, please let Patty know today or email her. Thank you for your consideration. And it's also the time of the year to consider our annual commitments. This is about our internal reflections and commitment to our spiritual growth in consciousness and creating the life we all want to live. The fillable form is in your updates and your e-newsletter. And on January the 14th, our guest speaker is the Reverend Kathleen Kurzweg. She'll be on Zoom, and she'll be bringing us the message and meditation and leading us in the White Stone Ceremony. And that concludes our announcements for today.
All right.
And now we're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right.
Amen.
And let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So let me just do one housekeeping thing here. Whoops. Okay. So hold on 1 second. All right. So much housekeeping. All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We had some technical difficulties because we were doing a lot more than we usually do, but hopefully it went off well, and we hope to see you next week in the in-person service Sunday, December 31st at 10:30. You can get there at 10 because we do a thing where we do a letters to God, where you write your letter to God, and then 6 months later we ask you to find it, open it up, and see if you've accomplished anything that was all the things that were in that. So come early, and we look forward to seeing you. Otherwise, have a wonderful week
and a Merry Christmas.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.